Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
I need to know, is there anyone excited to be at church today? Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. I hope you guys have a great Memorial Day weekend. I do just want to highlight the fact that as we get to celebrate this weekend, it is a somber holiday in that we celebrate Memorial Day because those men and women who gave their lives up for our freedom. And so I want to take a special moment just to thank our service men and women who are in the military, and especially those who have lost loved ones who are here today. Will you help me thank our military that's here today? Second, I want to give a shout out. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but out in the lobby area, one of our walls has grown grass. And it's a pretty cool, like, photo op thing. And it took a lot of effort to get that wall up. In fact, one of our owners came in and had to come in twice during the week to get the sign that was up there down and moved and put the wall up. And I think it looks incredible. We did it to help create some photo ops, but also to add some color into our lobby area. And so I think it looks great, and I wanted to give them a shout-out. Will you help me thank them? Well, today we're continuing our series all about that grace. And last week we defined grace as God giving us what we don't deserve. God giving us what we don't deserve. Grace is amazing, and there's a reason that all around the world they still sing the song Amazing Grace. It is how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When you touch grace, when you experience grace, when you learn about grace, when it just takes over your life, it is a game changer. But one of the things that we shared last week, and by we I mean I, you cannot fully understand grace until you experience it. You cannot fully understand grace until you experience it. This is a series where we're going to get really practical. We're going to talk about grace, illustrate grace, tell some stories, help inspire you about grace. But what you need to understand is that you will never, ever fully grasp grace until you experience it. And we saw last week the Apostle Paul, who's one of the primetime players of the Scriptures, his life was transformed. He went from persecuting Christians to becoming a Christian. And grace transformed his life, and he is the primary author of grace. Now, today is a day that I think is going to hit every single person in the room. And the reason that I'm so confident that it is going to speak to every single person in the room is because we as human beings tend to fall into extremes. We like extremes. We like either or. We don't like and. We like just tell us what's right, what's wrong. We tend to fall into these extremes. And today, we're going to talk about a side of grace that some of us have chosen an extreme on. And that is truth and grace. Truth and grace. Grace. There are some of you here and you are more naturally a grace person. You probably don't like conflict. You love giving second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. You may have a hard time telling people no because it just feels mean to you. There are others of you, though, and you tend to be more of a truth person. You say it like you see it. You believe people deserve what they get. In fact, this week you've probably said out loud, I don't feel sorry for them. When someone experiences the consequences of their actions, you think that's just what they get. Now, here's something that's interesting to me. Not always, but a lot of times, grace and truth people are attracted to each other and they get married. Not all the time, but a lot of times, a truth person marries a grace person. And in my life, I like to view myself as more on the grace side. And I married an amazing woman that tends to be a little bit more on the truth side. And it makes watching television fun because there have been multiple times where we've been watching a television show or a movie, and someone in the show or movie will do something dumb, and the consequence of their decision is death. And so they die, and I'm like, oh, they're dead. And my wife will say out loud, I don't feel sorry for them. They're an idiot. And I'm like, that's true. They did make a dumb mistake, but they're also dead. Like, this is like grace and truth. Now, the thing is that none of us are a full grace or a full truth. Some of us lean more heavy towards the grace, but there's times when you go into the truth. And there's some of you who lean way, way harder onto the truth side, but there are times when you have a little grace. What I want to make sure that we understand today is that if you are a follower of Jesus, You can't pick a side. You need grace and truth. Grace and truth. And we're going to show you this in the text today. The text was written by John, and John was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Now, something that's interesting, if you've never read the Gospel of John, it's one of the first four books of the New Testament. In it, he talks a lot about John the Baptist. And some people think that he talks about John the Baptist because he was an original follower of John the Baptist. So it gets a little bit confusing because you have John the disciple, then you have John the Baptist, two totally separate guys. John the Baptist comes on the scene, prepares the way for Jesus. He has his own group of disciples. Jesus comes on the scene and John says, hey, it's not me. I'm not the guy that is. And some of John's disciples leave him in the moment and they go to follow Jesus. And some people think that one of those that left was John. And so when you read his gospel, he talks about John the Baptist a lot because John the Baptist influenced him. Now, something else interesting about John is he had a brother named James, and they become two of Jesus' best friends. Jesus likes him so much, he gives him a nickname. Their nickname is Bonerges. Some of you still don't find that funny. If you were here last week, it means sons of thunder, and it's the Greek word Bonerges, and it's a funny word, and I'm just going to keep saying it until everyone thinks it's as funny as I do, because it's hilarious. I'm going to have to find a way to work it into like every sermon over the next few weeks. Well, John was a disciple of Jesus and a follower of Jesus, and after Jesus rises from the dead, John goes on to write five books that are in our New Testament. The only person that wrote more than him in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. So John is a really big deal, and he writes about his time with Jesus. And he gives us some insight on who Jesus is. And that's where our text is going to pick up today, John 1:14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." I want to stop there just for a second. You notice in that very first sentence, the word "word" is capitalized. And so this is talking about a specific person. This is a name. Typically, you wouldn't capitalize the word "word." But John is doing something intentional here. In John's day and age, word meant something different to two different groups of people, and John is talking to both of these groups. In the Greek world, they were all about reason, and for them, reason was the word. It was the reason why we exist. Now, they couldn't name the word. They didn't understand it. It was just like, yeah, everything comes back to reason. We're going to discuss reason, and reason is the word. It flows through life. It's the reason that we exist. It is the thing that created this. And so John is saying, hey, to the Greek crowd, you need to understand that that reason that you've been searching for, it's Jesus. You didn't know it, but it's Jesus. But there's a second group, and the second group is Jewish people, and they would have been very familiar with this idea of the word. In the Old Testament, the first book of the Old Testament, Genesis, it tells us that God breathed life. That when humans were created, he breathed it. It's the word, that things came to life by his breath. He spoke it into existence. And so John is saying, hey, listen, if you're from a Jewish background, you need to understand that Jesus is not just a prophet. He is God. He's been with God from the very beginning. He is God in the flesh. So John is doing something that I think is very important for us. He is talking to two separate groups of people. For the Greeks, John is saying, if you want to find meaning to life, you can. It's in Jesus. And to the Jewish crowd, he's saying, if you want to experience God, you can. It's through Jesus. He is intentionally hitting two different groups of people. And I highlighted this last week, but this is important for us as a church because we try to intentionally do the same thing. We try on a weekly basis to be spiritually bilingual, which means we talk to two different groups of people. We want Christians to lean in. We want you to understand. We want you to be your toes to be stepped on. We want you to be challenged and fall in love with Jesus. But at the same time, we understand that there are a bunch of people who didn't grow up in church and they don't understand the things of the Bible. So we use culture, just like John is doing right here. We use culture to say, hey, guess what? You can find Jesus in that. We'll use songs or movie clips or illustrations that cause someone who doesn't go to church to lean in and say, oh, that makes sense to me. I know about that. That's exactly what John is doing here. When he says word, the spiritual people are like, yep, we know about that. That's God. Oh, Jesus is the word? Okay, that's a bold claim. And the unspiritual people, the people that didn't grow up in church, they're like, word? Okay, we understand that. That's philosophy. That's reason. That's the existence. You're telling us that we can know that. So John is being incredibly intentional. Let's keep reading. John 1:14. And the word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, Now, I want to stop here for a second. If you grew up in the church, you might be familiar with this idea of God's glory. We get this from something that happens in the Old Testament. John is referencing a guy by the name of Moses. And Moses is a primetime player in the scriptures. He wrote, most likely, the first five books of the Old Testament. And he had a special relationship with God that no one else ever had anything like it. And Moses has this time where God calls him to the top of a mountain. And at the top of the mountain, he gives him the Ten Commandments. And on the top of the mountain, Moses says, God, show me your glory. Saying, I want to experience your presence. I've heard you speak. I'm following you. I'm trying to lead these people. But I just want to experience your presence. Show me your glory. And God says, listen, Moses, I could show you that, but you would die. You just can't handle it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass over you, and I'm going to cover you a little bit. And then when I pass by, you can look at my backside. You can look at the end of my glory, and it'll change you forever. It's in there. Read it. So God passes over Moses. Moses looks at God, and he is transformed. He sees the glory of God, and he is transformed. And when he comes off the mountain, he is glowing. Like, his face is so bright, the people are like, we can't look at you. You need to put a veil over your face to cover the glory of God. Now, there are no images of what Moses looked like at all. We don't know specifically what he looked like when he came in God's presence. But my mind thinks in movie clips. And so when I hear that Moses' face is glowing, I think of this image from this movie. Anyone know what movie that's from? Who said that? Big, there it is, right here. You get a hat for that one. That's a deep cut if you know Big Trouble in Little China. There you go. All right, so this is a really big deal, and I want to make sure that you understand this. The Jewish people were like, Moses experienced something that no one else ever got to experience. He experienced the glory of God, and it changed him. And John then says, guess what? You can be like Moses and experience the glory of God. It's through Jesus. That when you experience Jesus, when you experience his presence, when you get into his presence, he changes you. He just changes things. He makes you look different than the way you were before you met with him. Let's keep going. John 1:14, and the word became flesh, so Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Would you humor me and just say grace and truth on the count of three? One, two, three.
Grace and truth.
So Jesus says when you, or John says, when you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. And you want to get a good image of what God is? God is grace and truth. Grace and truth. He's not either or, he is both. He is grace and truth. Now, I like to point out that grace comes first, but he is grace and truth. He is both. Grace and truth. So we've already defined grace, giving us, God giving us what we don't deserve. That's grace. But I want to highlight to you that even in the definition of grace, you have to have some truth. God giving us what we don't deserve. Well, what don't we deserve? The truth is we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. We don't deserve that. And that sounds like bad news. But you don't understand how good God's grace is until you hear the bad news. And so grace is not separate from truth. They go together. So this is what grace is, God giving us what we don't deserve. What is truth? That's a great question. Thank you for asking. Truth is God's standards. That's what truth is, God's standards. And how do we know God's standards? The Bible. That's how we know what God's truth is. It's through the Bible. It's through the scriptures. And what we need to understand is that when Jesus came to earth, he represented God fully, fully. And the way that he did that is that he was fully grace and fully truth. Now, for those of you that lean more into the truth side, you love truth. Love it. Just say what you mean what you say. You're going to hell. Oh, you're right. Probably am. You're a sinner. Yep, I am. Truth side loves to tell the truth. And so often I'll hear from the truth side, Pastor Rob, you just need to tell them like it is. You just need to preach it to them. Just tell them the truth. Yes, I do. It's true. We do need to talk about truth. The issue is that when you focus so much on the truth and don't sprinkle it with grace, what ends up happening is we tell the world that, you know what's a lot more attractive than heaven? Hell. Because if heaven means you're just going to yell at me, and if heaven means you're just going to point out all my flaws, and if heaven means you're just going to constantly tell me what a horrible person I am, I don't want that. I would rather go someplace where I could be myself and feel a little bit of grace and not be chewed out all the time. I don't want that. So we do need to be truth people, but we need to understand that we have to sprinkle the truth with grace. You ever experience a street preacher? Like, have you ever really experienced one when you're in like a big city and there's someone on the street corners and they're just yelling? If you ever listen to them, a lot of what they say is what we believe as Christians. Yep, I believe that. That's a good point. Yep, that is in the Bible. They are saying the truth, but they're not caring about if it's effective or not. They don't care about the actual people they're communicating to. They're just yelling truth. In fact, how do I know this? Because I've tried to engage with them, and they've told me to my face, you're going to hell. And I'm like, whoa, wait, you don't even know me. And they're like, no, we know you're going to hell. And I'm like, how do you know this? Like, I know Jesus. And they're like, it doesn't matter. You're going to hell. And I'm like, well, what's the answer? I'm like, I'm a pastor. And then they were like, well, do you use the King James Bible only? I said, no. And they're like, you're going to hell. And I was like, I didn't know that was in the Bible. They are so focused with truth that they don't even care about the person. And when you talk to someone who is more of a truth person, you say, hey, what you're saying is not wrong, but how you're saying it is wrong, often they'll say, oh, I don't care. I just got to tell the truth. I got to speak the truth. But if truth is not effective, it doesn't matter, because no one's going to listen to what you have to say. But then you have the grace people. Grace. Grace, 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 grace. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you do. No, it does matter. Oftentimes, the grace side thinks that in order to reach someone, you have to become like them. And so what we do is we start to water down the truth. And we start to say, we know truth better than God does. In fact, there's a whole generation who is putting the Bible aside in the name of love. And what they think is they think that they know love better than God. And they think that because God has some standards, that's not loving. So they're redefining love, and they're saying, no, we don't accept that, because that feels harsh, that feels mean. We're just going to be all about that grace. But grace without truth is not love. In reality, the greatest way that you can experience God's love is to hear some truth. And the truth is that on our own, we are separate from God. We need God. None of us are good enough to get into heaven. We need God's love. But because God loves us so much, he doesn't just yell at us and scream at us. He doesn't just kick us out of his presence. He invites us in, that through his son and by understanding what his son's done for us, we can have forgiveness of our sins. That's grace and truth. When grace becomes an excuse to live in sin, you are no longer under grace but under deception. And the grace crowd, and I'm speaking to you as one that identifies as a grace person. It is so scary to speak truth to people. And it is so scary to hold on to truth. And there's times, even when reading through the Bible, that we're like, oh, that doesn't feel good. Maybe I should change that. Or maybe I should ignore that. Or maybe that's outdated. And we do it in the name of grace. But grace without truth is not love. As a person who leans more into the grace side, I just want to pull back the curtain and let you know, we are a church that intentionally holds on to the truth. But I always want to make sure that when I tell the truth, it comes with a lot of grace. And anytime there's a passage of scripture that just feels kind of like, and I preach it, the truth people come up to me afterwards and like, that's a good word, Pastor. You need to do that more often. And I like that. And what they don't understand is that prepping it, like, it fills me with anxiety. Because I don't want people thinking God's mad at them. And I don't want people to feel shame. I want people to feel the grace and love of God. But what I understand is I cannot get people to the grace of God if we're afraid of the truth of God. So God is not truth or grace. He's truth and grace. And this is why I just want to speak to our owners for just a second. Over our last 12 years, there have been multiple Sundays we're talking about a truth subject, something that's kind of difficult for our culture to understand. People have just gotten up and left in the middle of the sermon. Like, I don't like that, and so they get up and they walk out. And it's happened more times than I can count. And when it happens, our staff does a great job of trying to meet them in the lobby and say, hey, is everything okay? And they'll hear it. No, we didn't like that, or that was wrong, or I can't believe he said that. And they get very, very offended. And we try our best to say, hey, listen, you know, we love you. We weren't trying to mean it in a hateful way. But it has happened so often that anytime one of you gets up in my sermon, I immediately think, here we go again. And I know you think, oh, I'm just using the bathroom, or I'm bored, it's no big deal, or I'll be back, or but what you need to understand is that literally because of this, we have had people who have literally just walked out and said, I'm done. And so here's what I want to ask of you. If you're an owner, okay? If you're not an owner, if this is not your church, then, you know, we'll give you grace. But if you're an owner, I want you to understand that especially during the sermon portion, just stay seated. Right? It's 30 minutes, 33 minutes sometimes if I go long. And I know some of you have chugged like two cups of coffee and you're like, it's an emergency. Okay, our seats are dark. Just no. I'm kidding. We understand that there's some emergencies. Right? We understand there's some times where you just can't help it. Something comes up, right? But I just want you to understand, talking about the truth things, it's not easy for me. It's not. And so if you're on the truth side on the weeks where you're like, oh yeah, preach it, give it to him, it doesn't encourage me when you walk up and say you need to do that every week, because you don't know. I've been filled with anxiety just getting to that point. Because we do need truth, but we also need grace. And our world is trying to pull these two things apart. And there's a grace side that's just like, yeah, do whatever you want, and just do you. And there's this grace side, and it feels really great, but it's just leading to all sorts of dysfunction. And then there's a truth side that's just telling people like it is, and it's leading to all sorts of dysfunction. And the reason is because we're separating who God is. Grace and truth is who God is. The truth side is kind of like this. Stick with me on this. The truth side is kind of like broccoli. Broccoli's good for you. It's healthy. It tastes gag nasty, though. Like, and if you're here today and you're like, but I like broccoli, you're probably a truth person. Because broccoli is good for you and you should eat it, I like to serve broccoli with a side of nacho cheese. It just helps it go down a little bit easier. And sometimes when you give truth, I end up putting a little bit too much nacho cheese on it because I'm so afraid that they're not going to like the truth. And this is where I need your help if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, I need you. If you are more of a truth person, I need you to start leaning into the grace side. And if you are a Christian and you're more on the grace side, I need you to start leaning into the truth side. How do we do that? If you're a truth person, you need to start looking at Jesus for how he has shown you grace. And if you're a grace person, you need to hold on to the truth of Scripture and not let it go. We need grace and truth. I like the quote by Randy Alcorn. He says, people thirst for the real Jesus. We show Jesus when we show them grace and truth. Anything less than both is neither. You want to show people Jesus? Show them grace and truth. Here's practically what this does. I want to show you a graphic. And on the graphic, you'll notice on the left side, it says grace, and there's an arrow that says low to high. And on the bottom, it says truth, and it goes from low to high. When we separate these things, it leads to all sorts of issues. And so when you have high grace but low truth or no truth, grace without truth creates dysfunction. That's that white box. And so some of us parent with a lot of grace. And so we don't tell our kids no. And then we wonder why our kid's a terror. I know you love little Timmy, but you need to give Timmy a timeout. Like, Timmy's a spoiled little brat. Someone needs to tell you that. Grace without truth, it creates dysfunction. And think about it in your life. Where there is so much grace, it tends to lead to dysfunction. when there aren't boundaries, when there aren't rules, when you just do whatever you want and you just are constantly grace, it leads to dysfunction. You need a little bit of truth. If you go underneath that, it would be no grace and no truth. It creates no relationship. When you get to this point, it's incredibly dangerous because this is apathy. And apathy says, I just don't care. I don't care enough about them to tell the truth, and I don't care enough about them to show them grace. I don't care. You do not want to be in this position. But then if you go to the bottom where you have high truth and low grace, truth without grace creates distant relationships. If you're a truth person and you've ever wondered, why don't people like being around me? Well, it's because you just constantly tell them the truth. And you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to tell them the truth with grace. Give them a little bit of grace. Just sprinkle a little bit of grace. Give a little nacho cheese on that truth. You're just telling everyone like it is, and it's tough to be around. And your defense mechanism when you're a truth person is, I've just got to speak this. It would be wrong for me to speak this. And that may be true, but it's also wrong for you to speak it if you're speaking it without grace. Mm-hmm. Truth without grace creates distant relationships. What we want is high grace and high truth. Grace with truth creates healthy relationships. Grace with truth. Not letting people walk all over you, not having no rules. You need some rules. You need some standards. But you also need some grace. Let's keep reading our text, John 1:16. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Now, I do not have time to go fully into this text. In fact, this one verse could be a whole sermon unto itself. This idea of grace upon grace, it is phenomenal. It is amazing. Maybe one day I'll come back and do a whole sermon on grace upon grace. But I want to make sure that you hear me on this. Way too many Christians have believed that if we have Jesus, then everything will always work out for us. And if you have Jesus, Jesus is like a good luck charm. And if you have Jesus, you'll always succeed and you'll always have good luck and all your hopes and dreams will come true. And that is not what the Bible teaches at all. In fact, if you look at Jesus' followers, he had 12 disciples. And after he left, they all went through hell. Peter, who was one of Jesus' best friends, he was crucified upside down. John, who wrote the letter that we're reading today, he was boiled. They tried to boil him to death, and he wouldn't die. So they took him out of the boiling water, and they cast him onto an island where he couldn't be around people anymore because his letters were changing the world. Paul, who's a primetime player of the scriptures, was beheaded. John the Baptist, who John started following originally, was beheaded. Jesus died on a cross. Following Jesus does not mean you get all your hopes and dreams. It does not mean that every relationship will work out. It doesn't mean you'll get every promotion. It doesn't. Sometimes you will get sick and you will not be healed from it. So wait. If I don't get all this great stuff all the time, then why should I follow Jesus? Because of grace upon grace. And you may not be healed in that moment, but what you will get is grace. And the relationship may not be restored, but you know what God will give you? Grace. And you may not overcome that addiction overnight, but you know what God's going to give you while you're struggling? Grace. He's going to give you grace upon grace. The primary provision that God brings to us is not wealth, health, and power. It's grace upon grace. Grace may not heal you, but it will hold you. Grace may not magically make your bank account grow, but it will sustain you in your time of need. Okay, I don't have time. I got to keep going. John 1, 17 through 18. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. So this is where John brings in Moses, the primetime player of the Old Testament. And his audience would have known who Moses is. And John says, Moses brought us the law. What is the law? The Ten Commandments. Even if you didn't grow up in church, you're probably familiar with these. Things like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery. They are good standards. They are good rules. Moses gave the law, and he gave the law as a way of having some grace. You're separated from God. You need to know these are God's standards. Follow these standards, and you'll experience God's love and grace. The problem is the people couldn't follow the law. And all throughout the Old Testament, they couldn't follow these commands. They couldn't follow these standards. And they kept tripping on themselves. And they kept messing up. And so God says, okay, I'm going to show you what it looks like. You understand the law, but you miss the grace side. So I'm going to send you my son so that you can see me. And when you see me, you're going to see that I come with grace and truth. Moses brought the law, but Jesus brings grace and truth. So here's some practical questions for you. These will hopefully help you in your relationships. They'll help you wrestle with, when do I show grace and when do I show some truth? Here's some questions for grace and truth. Have I invested in the relationship enough to share a truth with them? Truth people want to tell truth even if they don't know the person. And here is the truth of the matter. Most people do not receive unsolicited advice. And so if you have a truth, ask yourself, have I invested in them enough to give them this truth? If not, then maybe I just need to let this one slide. Do I truly value them as people? Do I truly value them as people? Am I just telling them some truth and I don't care what they do about it? I just got to get the truth out. Or do I value them as a human being? Am I sure this is their issue and not mine? Am I sure I'm not speaking up because I feel threatened? This is for the grace people. If you're like me and you're a grace person, when confrontation happens, you start talking yourself out of it. You're like, oh, maybe this need a third chance. Maybe they need a fourth chance. Maybe they didn't hear me the first time. Maybe they didn't mean to. Are you talking yourself out of sharing a truth because you're using grace? Is the issue more important than the relationship? This is something for both grace and truth people. Is the issue more important than the relationship? Is this an issue that if we don't deal with it, it's going to lead problems down the road? And if you're a grace person, issues get buried and they get stuffed and you're like, I just don't want to talk about it. But some issues need to be talked about. And you need to have some hard conversations. If you're a truth person, sometimes there are some things that you're like, yeah, you know what, it's not going to really impact things. I need to let this one go. Does this conversation clearly serve their interests and not just mine? Am I willing to invest time and energy to help them change? Am I willing? Do I care enough about them to say, hey, listen, I'm going to share some hard truth with you, but I want to walk next to you? Am I willing to show them how to do something, not just say what's wrong? You ever done a work project with a truth person? You're an idiot. Why would you do that? That doesn't go there. Work faster. Work harder. Stop. Why would you make... And it's like, I'm trying to help you. Like, do you want help or not? And in those circumstances, you need to understand, okay, listen, I need to walk them through this process. They don't know. I'm getting mad at them for not knowing what they don't know. Am I willing to show them how to do something, not just say what's wrong? And finally, am I willing and able to set clear, specific expectations? It is unfair to judge someone on standards you've never given them. So before you get mad at someone, you need to ask them, have we ever talked about the standard? Have we ever clearly defined, like, hey, this is the rule, this is what we're going after? And sometimes we get mad at people and we're angry at them and they didn't even know. They didn't know they were taking a test. We get mad at them for failing a test they didn't even know they were taking. Now, why is all this so important? It's so important because this is who God is. I want to show you something that John says in another one of his letters in 1 John 2:6. This is what John says to us, to Christians, to those who follow after him. He says, this is how we know we are in him. In who? Jesus. This is how you know. If you've ever wondered, am I really a Christian or not? John answers that. This is how you know if you're really a Christian. Whoever claims to live in Jesus must live as Jesus did. So how do I know if I'm following after Jesus? How do I know if I'm really a Christian? Well, are you living your life for Jesus? Are you walking after him? Are you trying to pursue him? If there's some fruit in that decision, then you're on the right path. And whoever claims to live in Jesus must live as Jesus did. Well, how did Jesus live? With grace and truth. Grace and truth, not either or. I'm all about that grace. But you need to understand that grace is not separate from truth. And today, in our world, our culture is trying to pull away. And they don't like talking about truth. And they don't like about our version of truth or our understanding of truth. But I want to make sure that you hear this. It is not grace to just tell someone that you love them or you care about them. That's not grace. Part of grace is understanding that, hey, God does have standards. He does have some laws. He has some things that he cares about. And I care about you so much, I want to help you see this. I want to walk you through this. I want to love you enough to tell you about God's plan. God's plan comes with grace and truth. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never received the message of grace and truth, I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never become a Christian, you want to become one, I want to invite you. Would you just pray this prayer quietly in your heart after me? God, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I ask that you would wash me white as snow. I admit that I'm a sinner and I need your grace. Thank you for being both grace and truth. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. If you prayed that prayer with me, we'd love to celebrate with you with every eye still closed, every head bowed. If you would just be so bold, if you prayed that prayer and received Jesus, we'll follow up with you this week, and we just want to walk with you and help you understand what it means to be a Christian. So if you said that prayer with me, would you just be bold and raise your hand? No one's looking around. Our ushers just want to give you a card. You can fill that card out and place it in one of the black drop boxes around. Keep your hand up just a little bit until one of the ushers gets to you. Just raise it nice and high. For everyone else, I just want to pray over us. God, I ask right now that you would help us to model to the world what it means to be a follower of you, that we would lead with grace and truth, not either or. I ask, God, that you would help those of us in the room right now that are truth people. God, would you help us to sprinkle the truth with some grace? And God, for those of us that are grace people, would you help us to hold on to your truth? We can't change your truth, even when it makes us feel uncomfortable. We ask that you would speak both grace and truth to us and help us to live for you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.